And hello, everybody. This is Brother John Rothacker. It's good to be with you once again on Truth for Today. And we're studying in the Scriptures how to be saved the Bible way. And we've come down to the realization through the teachings of Jesus, both by precept and example, that we must be born again of water and spirit, baptized in water and baptized in the spirit, immersed in water and immersed in the Holy Spirit. Receive God's Spirit, as we saw in John chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3. And now we're going to look at some more scriptures of Philip the Evangelist. He's identified as such in Acts 21:8. But the account of his ministry is in Acts chapter 8. And there was a persecution after Stephen was stoned. And it says that they that were scattered abroad due to this persecution went everywhere preaching the word. Now that's a mistranslation of what it says in the Greek. The Greek word is ulion galliomenoi, which means it's a participial form of the word to spread the good news. It isn't the Greek word kerux, which means to proclaim publicly. We're going to see Philip doing that shortly in that word used for his ministry. But everybody went evangelizing. Now, men and women, boys and girls, everyone is commissioned by God to tell the good news, to evangelize. But not everyone is called as an evangelist. Just like the scripture says, ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may be edified, but it says not all are prophets. An evangelist is someone whose special calling and life's commission is to preach the gospel publicly as well as privately. And so, we're going to read Philip's ministry here, the only chapter, Acts 8, where we see the ministry of a New Testament evangelist, of a man trained by the Holy Spirit and by the apostles of the Lord Jesus. And so in Acts 8:5 we read, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached, kerux, proclaim publicly Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. Or literally it could be translated, many that had these spirits. Sometimes we get a wrong understanding of possession, because the Greek really doesn't use that word. It uses the word demonized, and in other words, afflicted with evil spirits. A couple places it says in an unclean spirit. But these people were afflicted with unclean spirits, and many taken with palsies, that means paralyzed, feeble, weak, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city, but there was a certain man called Simon, which beforehand in the same city used sorcery, that's magic, and bewitched them, or amazed them. And the people of Samaria giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching, here it is, This time, evangelizing, sharing the good news, telling the good news of the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, first of all, let's realize what it says and what it doesn't say. It doesn't say they were converted. It doesn't say that they believed into Christ. It doesn't say they believed on Christ. It says they believed something with their mind concerning the message that Philip was proclaiming. Specifically, they believed concerning the kingdom of God, the good news, and the name of Jesus Christ. You see, they had first believed what Simon the sorcerer had bewitched them with. That didn't convert them. They just believed something and they acted upon that belief. Now they have come to believe something different. And so they act on that newfound faith, belief. And so what do they do? They submit to water baptism, men and women. Then it says, then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Miracles, that's dunamis, works of power and signs, that's tremendous acts that get your attention. And when the apostles, now it says, now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in, or into, ace, into the name of the Lord Jesus. Greek word ace literally means into. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, this authority, literally, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity, the chains of unrighteousness. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which he has spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And so here we have the record of the conversion of these Samaritans. Philip preached with an anointing of the Spirit. Mighty miracles and signs were done. They believed what he preached. They were baptized in water, and then days later, after the apostles had gotten word of it, it had to travel down to Jerusalem, then they had to come from Jerusalem up, then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So we find them born of water, and days later, born of the Spirit. And that's the New Testament pattern. And this New Testament evangelist, trained by these apostles, in Jerusalem, for he was one of the seven deacons selected by the early church that were all under the authority of the apostles. This is how they ministered, how he ministered. He baptized people when he preached the gospel to those that received. You can read about his selection as a deacon in Acts chapter 6. Now, after he baptized them, the apostles laid hands on them days later, and they received the Holy Spirit. That's the pattern. Now let's go into the next part of Acts chapter 8 and get the personal ministry of this evangelist. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He read Isaiah the prophet. That's Isaiah. This comes from the Greek pronunciation, but that's Isaiah, chapter 53, he's reading from, actually. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran hither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Again, spoke the good news is the literal meaning of the word used there. Shared the good news of Jesus unto him. It doesn't mean preach. They were side by side in the chariot. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water out there in the middle of the desert. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now here we find, beloved, a personal ministry of this evangelist. The Spirit. He's coming out of a great revival in Samaria sometime before, and now he's going down into a desert because the Spirit tells him. He doesn't know what's there till he gets there. And we read the account, how he was led up to the chariot and shared the gospel with this eunuch. Now the interesting thing among many points here is that when it says he preached or shared unto him Jesus from that scripture, which was the beginning. In other words, he used the Word of God to share Jesus. Immediately, the eunuch's response, wanting to be saved, was, There's some water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Obviously, sharing Jesus included water baptism. There was no way this eunuch would know it other than Philip told him. And let's get rid of that false argument that's inspired from Satan himself about what happens to a man out in the middle of the desert where there isn't any water. My friend, if God's going to save somebody in the middle of the desert like this eunuch, he'll provide some water. Bless God. the same God that spoke and made the oceans in one word can provide enough to baptize a human soul. The Spirit could have had him converted at Jerusalem or some city along the way, but he waited until he got in the middle of the desert. For those of you that want to see the God of the impossible at work and to refute your false arguments against the Bible way of salvation. Now, they went down with their clothes into the water, and then he immersed him. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing, and Philip was caught away miraculously in the Spirit and found himself suddenly miraculously transported to another place. What a way to travel. That's space travel. Without a spaceship, that's in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, Philip was trained under the apostles. And we don't have time to read all the accounts of how the apostles ministered. But let me say they were commissioned by the Lord Jesus to preach the gospel. And I'll read an important scripture in Matthew chapter 28. That's the last chapter in Matthew's gospel, where we read, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach," or literally make disciples of all nations, "baptizing them in the name of the Father," literally it's ace, "into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Or even unto the days of the completion of the age, literally. The world isn't going to end. The age will end. This world's going to be remade when Jesus comes back. Going to be burned up with fire and purified. Hallelujah. Read about that in Peter's little letters. Give you a reference here for that. In 2 Peter chapter 3, you can read about this new world that's coming. Now, that was the commission to these apostles. How did they carry it out? You remember Jesus said to Peter one day, "I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Whosoever sins you remit, they'll be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they'll be retained." Keys are for opening the door. He opened the door to the Jews on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, to the Gentiles at Cornelius and his household in Acts 10 and 11, the account. The message is the same. The gospel. To the Jews, when he told them that they had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, this Jesus of Nazareth, who God had made Lord and Christ, they were convicted and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And this was Peter's word to them in Acts 2:38. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for into the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward or this crooked generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, teaching, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. You can read as they went on and had this wonderful fellowship, breaking bread from house to house, as well as being taught there publicly in the temple. The message there was repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. Born of water and born of the Spirit. And we see that same thing, as I said, in Acts chapter 10 when the Gentiles were saved. Peter went in. You know, he had to go have a revelation, a supernatural revelation that's often misinterpreted as to God was cleansing unclean food, and Peter's interpretation was not that at all. He said, God has showed me not to call any man common or unclean. God was cleansing man, not food. Food doesn't change. We haven't changed, but man can have a change of heart, praise God. And God starts to save the Gentiles. Read that in Acts 10:28. But as Philip is preaching the gospel here, he gets to the point, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead, and to him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him should receive remission of sins. Acts 10:43. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Philip, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Some translations just have it in the name of the Lord. And they prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now, here we see God's pattern. Born of water and born of the Spirit. You preach, born of water and Spirit, repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. God may, as you preach, save somebody right on the spot and baptize them in the Holy Spirit, as he did under Philip or Peter's preaching here. What do you do if they receive the Holy Spirit already? Philip, or Peter, it says. Philip's the evangelist, Peter's the apostle here. It says, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. It's a commandment. It's not an option. It's not something you present as a nice thing to do. It is a commandment of the Lord. The gospel has been so watered down today that men are having to be enticed and tickled into the kingdom. But my friend, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force, Jesus said. It's not for the weak. Jesus Christ is not a mealy-mouthed, weak-kneed, milk-toast Savior. He was a strong, husky carpenter in the days when the power tools were the power under his own muscles. As he hewed the wood and drew the lathe and the planes and did everything by hand. He was a strong, husky man who stood up to the religious leaders of his day that were hypocrites and said, you hypocrites, who talked to those snakes and said, you generation of vipers. This is the Jesus of the Scriptures, who's also so tender and caring as a good shepherd for his own, but is unmerciful to the unmerciful. And he's gracious to all that will come humbly and bow at his feet. And Paul, given us here in Acts chapter 17, has told us that now God commands all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Acts 17:30 and 31. God commands us to repent, metanoia, to have a change of mind. You in your mind, which is part of your soul, must decide that you are going to change your way of living, that you want to be what God wants you to be, that you realize you have a nature that is bent on selfishness, that cannot love people as God commands us to love people and to love Him, and that we need a new nature, and we're going to turn away from our sins and turn to God. And you want a change of heart. You want a change of life. You can choose to do that. God commands you to make that choice. And when you do, you respond to the gospel and you are baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And then God gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit, which gives you a new spirit, a new heart. He takes out of you that stony heart and gives you a heart of flesh. He makes you a new person, a new creation. And He gives you a new determination. And He infuses you with the life of Jesus when the Holy Spirit comes in you. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And now you can live a new life because you have Christ in you, who is your life. He is your life. You no longer live your own life, but Christ becomes your life. As Paul says, I live, nevertheless not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He even gives you the faith to live it. It's not your faith, it's the faith of Jesus Christ working in you and through you, who loved you and gave Himself for you when He died on the cross to bring you to God so that you could be God's friend instead of His enemy, be part of His family forever, His forever family. Hallelujah. God commands you to repent, to be baptized openly in the name of His Son. There's only one begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. It's not Buddha, Mohammed, Confucius, or anyone else. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's more than a prophet. He's a Savior, but He's more than a Savior. He is everything. He is the Son of the living God. He's God manifested in the flesh. And we are commanded to repent of our sins, be baptized in His name, and receive the Holy Spirit. Look up Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 9, and together with the comments in Acts chapter 22. Look up the Ephesians' conversion in Acts chapter 19. Look up the meaning of baptism in Romans chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 2 and 1 Peter chapter 3. And you'll find that everywhere, consistently, God's way of saving people is to tell them to repent, to be baptized in Jesus' name, and then receive the Holy Spirit. And I tell you today, I command you in the name of the Lord, repent of your sin, be baptized, that's immersed, because Jesus died on the cross, was buried in the tomb, and was raised literally from the dead. And baptism in water is acting out the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Your identification with Him. And God will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. God bless you and give you the grace and the faith to obey the gospel.
If you'd like a copy of these messages on how to be saved the Bible way, or information on other messages available, just write and ask. Our address is John Rothacker Ministries, Box 3219, Columbus, Ohio, 43210.